Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 3, episode 27, 3-3 week, 500 week.
That's what we're aiming for.
And didn't we have what were we, 4-3 the week before that?
Yeah.
So like...
we were hoping to do that again.
Sustained decent baseball. Turns out we couldn't have gone 4-3 because we didn't play 7 games, but you know...
You give us one more game,
yeah.
We're going 4-3.
But yeah, so we started off
dropping
against
the
Rangers,
sadly,
in Texas. Yeah, we lost. We lost that. We lost those. We lost 2-3.
But we did win the first one.
We did win the first one. 6-3. Blackburn started, was not very good.
We really had the mojo going. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
After this win, it was like, oh man, we can beat anybody all of a sudden.
Yes. Ruiz homered again, which was crazy.
You know? Shea Langelier's homered again.
Shea Langelier's
like,
homered.
He's hot.
He is hot. He's the overall numbers, I feel like I say this every, the overall numbers aren't that great. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
but
it.
But they're getting
bit.
Better.
They're he you know, if you pick very specific sample sizes and then they look great. Yeah, Lucas was fine. Wasn't great out of the bullpen. The rest of the bullpen was great. Sweet got his first win, which was sweet. Ursega and Jimenez, and then May got the save. Save number 19. Brought him to 44-97 for the year. They did not get to 100 wins first. And that in and of itself is truly an accomplishment. You know, like for a team that started 12-50... to not be the first team in baseball to get to 100 wins is, like, incredible.
Yep, I'll take it.
So, but yeah, Geloff with 2 hits and a walk. The guy is amazing. And Rucker seems to be settling into that. He's probably going to hit, like, 240, mid-240s. But, you know, OPS, like, maybe in the high 7s, which is fine.
There's nothing wrong with what he's doing.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that was definitely the high. This game was definitely the high point of the Rangers series.
Did you mention Blackburn? He had a.
Yeah, he was not very good.
Not a great day.
He was not very good. Yeah. Walked what, 3 people, yep. Which is weird. I feel like he, you know, I feel like if you can pencil him in for one thing, it's like he's probably gonna walk like one guy or nobody.
He's,
you know,
he's been hot though, so he's due for a clunker, I suppose.
But yeah, so 6-3 win, started the series off on the right foot, had us feeling real good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then game two. Game two was a good game. Sean Newcomb was amazing. Sean Newcomb's first start
with the A's. Yep. He was great.
He was.
He has been. Like, yeah. We have zero reason to doubt this man.
He got through 4 innings on 62 pitches, gave up 3 base runners. Mm-hmm. You know, he was awesome.
Struck out 5.
Yeah. Kyle Muller came in and did what Kyle Muller does. You know.
7.66 ERA stuff.
Yeah. Urseg also, man. I really want to like Urseg, but it seems like this happens like every 3 or 4 yeah. games.
Walking 3 dudes in an inning is bad news.
Yes.
Less than an inning.
And Geloff homered.
Surprised.
But not much else going on other than that. You know, they needed
they
more.
They lost 3-2.
Yeah, they needed a little bit more.
And then, of course, it was Aroldis Chapman shutting the door in the ninth, so it felt rather futile.
Yeah, I hate that. And then game 3 kind of was a little bit of a clunker.
Just kind of a stinker.
Yeah.
Luis Medina didn't do great. Not sure at all, really, what to think of him anymore. But I think we're going to talk about some of the pitching staff in a minute here.
Yeah.
Adrian Martinez did equally poorly, maybe worse.
Yeah.
And then Easton Lucas did okay.
Easton Lucas is okay. Easton Lucas seems okay.
Seems you okay.
Know? He seems okay. He was the only guy that wasn't terrible out of the pitching staff that day.
Yep.
So we'll take that.
Home run by Soderstrom.
Yeah.
Which at the time
we love.
The A's took the lead in the third inning, 4-3. So it was feeling good again. It was like, oh man, we can play with the big boys.
They showed some life for sure. You know, which was nice.
They got John Gray out of the game early. 2 2/3. Heaney came in and pitched great. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Dan and I have been talking about it. It's been interesting. Our hearts kind of getting back into it. You know, as all of us, we probably weren't so tied to the outcome of the game for a while there. But it feels important again. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, especially it got to, you know, I kind of don't want to lose. Like, maybe they can go on a fat streak and not lose 100 games.
Well, it was nice to not be, you know, for the Royals to be beneath us is great.
Yeah.
Is that even still the case? I hope so.
It is.
Okay, good.
I think they have 101 losses, and we're not quite there yet.
Good, good.
But
then we got to play
and
the
I
Astros.
Also, I saw a graphic on Twitter. I don't remember exactly who posted it, but it was all the standings, if one-run games, if all of the results of one-run games were flipped. And to be fair, the A's were still, like, I think, like 52 and 95 or something. They weren't good. But the Royals, I think, had the exact same record. Hmm. So it's like, when the laundry's starting to get sorted out a little bit, I think the Royals are worse than us.
Royals might be worse. If you just took out the A's first month or two of the season, they're, like, not even that terrible. They're just bad.
They're bad. And I think the Royals outside Bobby Witt Jr., who was awesome, but I think the rest of that team is pretty hopeless.
Garbanzo beans.
You know? So anyway, we lost the Rangers series. Could have won. Really could have won the 3-2 game.
Maybe could have won. And then
could have won the 3-2 game, I think. Newcomb only threw 62 pitches. Like, they let him go to 75. You know, like, it's not that many pitches, you know, but anyway, it seems like we'll talk about it a little bit later on for sure. But yeah, a little bit frustrated, which kind of feels nice.
It's a different emotion than we've been feeling. Different than apathy.
And then continuing the Texas tour.
Then we had another great series.
Yes, we did.
We beat up on the Astros in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not put that lightly.
No.
There were moments where it actually felt like the A's were dominating, which mm-hmm. was pretty cool for a change. Starting with Mason Miller getting things off on the right foot with 2 shutout innings, with 1 run or 1 hit, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts.
Looked
doing
electric.
Mason Miller things.
Yeah.
Absolutely blowing it by people. Ken Waldichuk then somehow managed to outdo that effort with 6 innings of no-hit baseball, giving up 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. Ken Waldichuk is on one, ladies and gents. He is feeling himself.
It's been, we'll talk about it later. I keep forgetting that we're going to talk about it later. But anyway, yeah, he was awesome. True. He was so cool.
And Trevor May shut the door and he gave up 2 hits. But in my memory, it was dominant.
He was fine. He was fine.
He shut that door. He slammed it. But just a great game. Maybe the most I felt proud of the team. Like, I don't know, confident in the team. probably the best they've looked all year was this game, in my opinion.
All around, yeah. This, you know, like just a solid 4-0 win.
Yep.
You know,
off of a very good pitcher in Framber Valdez, they managed to score 4.
Yeah, he still struck out 10. He's good, man. He
still struck out he's 10. Good. But they pieced it together.
Yeah, Rooker got him and Langoliers got him for solo shots.
So it was great. 4-0. And then the next day they get Verlander and they beat up on him.
And which was even cooler.
Can't help but start feeling like is the tide starting to change around here?
Is the offense team is starting to good? Come together.
Geloff started the party, got the A's going with a double off of Verlander, quickly scored. They put up 3 in the first. The Astros came back with 1. The A's came back with another one in the third. Which
I think was Shea Langeliers, right?
No, Shea was part of the 3-run barrage in the first. Right. I forgot about that. Shea got his 19th home run, mm-hmm. a 2-run shot in the first. Tony Kemp chipped in with a solo shot in the fifth. I think it was just a RBI from Seth Brown or Ryan Noda in the third there. Mm. But just a nice complete attack on Verlander, like well-rounded. Lots of players contributing.
Zach Geloff is amazing.
He has really changed the narrative.
Yeah. And he's one of those, he's taken such good at-bats that it almost feels like the way he's approaching it is getting these other guys like better looks at these pitchers. Because mm-hmm. all of a sudden, like Seth Brown, like it feels like a little bit like as Zach Geloff goes, Seth Brown goes. It feels like if Zach Geloff goes 3-for-4 and like has a huge day, you look down the box score a little bit and like Seth Brown did too. You know, like Seth Brown had a good day too.
His teammates love him, I'm sure.
Yeah. So a very fun game.
And I can't remember.
He skunked him. And JP Sears was awesome.
I don't know if it was this game or a different one, but he continues to make these hustle plays. Like he scores from second on a ground out to first. I think that's what happened.
Yes.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Love the guy.
Mm-hmm. And JP Sears was sick.
JP Sears had a good game, which he needed
badly. And he also made like a super cool play on defense at some point, didn't he?
He did make a super cool play on defense, yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know,
over athlete. The shoulder, behind the mound, grab it, grab a pop-up maybe, and then throw to first for the double play. There's a guy on first.
Yeah, athlete.
Awesome stuff.
Bullpen was great. 1 hit over 3 innings, 5 strikeouts.
Bullpen was great. Then the story completely changed in Game 3, where the A's were no-hit into the 9th inning for the second time this year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't feeling very good, but, you know, these boys don't go down without a fight. They put up 2 runs when all was said and done.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 runs and 2 hits.
Ryan Noda broke the no-hitter.
He did. He did. After a pretty good at-bat by, you guessed it, Zach Geloff.
Zachy G.
And, you know, there are just reminders every once in a while that they're like, they got some work to do still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've done a lot of work, but there's still some more work to do.
It's also a reminder that Hunter Brown might be pretty good.
Yeah. I think the Astros may have found it again in someone, you know, which seems to happen frequently. And that was unfortunately loss number 100. But we put it off for a while. You know, they didn't go into 100 on a losing streak, which is, you know, I guess something, right?
They didn't lose number 100 in August.
Yeah, they didn't. That's true. They were deep into September.
That's right. You know? This is a respectable time. Mid to late September.
And, you know, for a team that was supposed to be historically bad and was on pace to be historically bad, this feels like you said, this feels like regular old bad.
I'm pleasantly satisfied with the way the second half has gone.
Yeah, it feels like regular old bad.
This is like 2011 bad.
We've been bad before. I think this is still on the worse end of how bad we've been.
2015 bad was pretty bad too.
But also all the silver linings that have popped up in the second half have made it like way more palatable to be bad, you know? And that brings us up to today, which is an off day.
Man, we hate off days.
Yeah.
But we hate off days again. And there was a time where they were almost nice.
Yeah, I was like, God, at least we don't have to worry about anything.
Things are looking up, A's fans. I mean, you know, they're not. But let's just pretend that they are.
On the field, they're looking up for sure. You know, which is there's something to be said for that.
We have some very good young players.
Yes.
That are exciting.
So my moment of the week is Shea Langeliers being on the verge of 20 homers on the season.
That's pretty sexy.
There were periods of time where he was like real ice cold, and that number seemed completely unrealistic.
Totally.
I think even on here, we may have begrudgingly settled for him getting to like 15 at one point.
That sounds familiar.
I can't guarantee that, but it feels like a sentiment that we probably felt, even if we didn't talk about it on here. So 20 is cool. I mean, he's got an outside chance of 25 if he can, because he can get hot.
If he stays as hot as he currently is,
he could get to 25. 20 seems like a shoe-in, though. And that's,
that's no joke for a catcher.
And last 7 days, he's hitting 278 with an 1133 OPS. He's got three homers. That's a very small sample size because still the season's not great. The OPS plus in the season is up to 87, which isn't excellent.
but it's not like he's a terrible catcher,
No. So. And I think he's still young. He's still young as like a starter. He's not even 26 yet, I'm feeling pretty good about him, honestly.
I'm feeling good about him. And don't forget that he's like super fast. He could play in the outfield if we needed him to. And anybody that can hit 20 bombs in relatively limited time, I'm interested in.
And the WAR is 0.9, which isn't incredible, but it's positive, and
it's positive.
And in a real loss season, and he's only got 409 at bats.
Yeah.
I
mean, he would presumably be nearing 30, given 600, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I mean, some of this stuff is, his exit velocity is 90.1. His hard hit percentage is 43.5.
Not bad.
I think I don't know. There's something there. And he has definitely struggled at points, but he is coming around, I think. And I'm liking it. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Shea Langeliers.
Agreed. My moment of the week is his battery mate, Ken Waldichuk. The six no-hit innings against the Astros was mighty impressive. I know Dave Stewart went out of his way to tweet about it, just being like, wow, well done, young man. That was like the best I've ever seen you look. And, when Dave Stewart says something like that about a player he watches all the time, I feel like it means something. And it was clear he was dominating them. He wasn't necessarily striking everybody out, but he was pitching really well. And it is not a blip on the map either. In his last month, I mean, he's doing excellent. He's got like a 1.05 whip. This is in five games. Four games of those were started, and the other one was the no-hit effort against the Astros in relief. 26.2 innings. He's only given up 16 hits, 12 walks, struck out 20, 5 earned runs.
I think I read today that since the All-Star break, his ERA is like 3.6.
I believe it.
That's not like a Cy Young number, but if you're looking at that, look at that for the rookie season as opposed to wherever he's at, 5.3 or whatever right now.
He's been quite good in the second half. He has given up an opponent's batting average of 200. Their OPS is 79 as compared to 159 in the first half.
Yeah, I think like kind of a lot of these guys, maybe Shea Langeliers, I think they dragged themselves down so crucially for those first like 2 months.
The first 2 months were atrocious for everyone. Yeah.
It would have been almost impossible to get their numbers back to like good. Like respectability is even tough. Like I said, Kevin Waldichuk's been shoving for like a month.
Look at that. First half. Terrible. 6.63 ERA. Second half, he's only 20 innings behind the first half total now.
3.17 is good.
3.17.
So I bet you what I saw was before the Astros start even. Because that makes sense that it would be down.
1.167 whip. He's a good pitcher in the second half.
Yeah, and I feel like we've also said maybe earlier in the year, like between him and Mueller, we really only need one of them to work out. So like if Mueller stinks, whatever, I don't care. Waldichuk is good.
Mueller might stink.
Yeah, I think Mueller does stink.
It sucks. But yeah, looking at what he's been doing lately, it's all bad. Just all bad.
Yes.
Luis Medina, maybe even worse.
But I like Medina's stuff better, though.
I like Medina's stuff better. Absolutely.
So,
dude, the weird thing is, like, Kyle Muller is a huge dude.
Yeah, he's
6'7", 250. Like, how? I don't know. It just doesn't even look like he's trying to throw hard.
Yeah.
What would happen if he tried to throw
hard? He probably tears UCL. But anyway, that transitions nicely into kind of what we're going to talk about. I mean, just the young pitchers.
Young pitchers
are killing it.
I think we inadvertently began talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Mason
Miller and Sean Newcomb are probably, I mean, well, obviously Ken Walichuk. We just showed Ken Walichuk a lot of love. So we're not going to talk about Ken Walichuk anymore because we did just talk about Ken
Walichuk. I think we completed that. Yep.
But Ken Walichuk might be the most exciting one for me overall because he's figuring it out like on the fly. You know, like this is turning into not a small sample size. This is turning into a guy who like took his lumps a little bit and is now figuring it out at the major league level, which feels more legit to me, you know? Mm-hmm. Sean Newcomb and Mason Miller, I feel like that's still, there's still a lot of like projection in there. In that like...
Oh boy. The data we have to project it looks good.
Yeah, but all those three. And you know, even... I'm excited. So I'm excited about some of these pitchers.
JP Sears looked good in his last start, but it is unfortunate. He's had pretty much the opposite season of Walichuk. Started out pretty darn good. First half put up pretty darn good numbers. 3.97 ERA through 18 games started. I mean, I think the big thing for him is he started every game.
Yeah.
He's up to 29 starts.
I agree.
Which is the only person on the team doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he pitched really well first half, 1.04 whip. But second half has been a completely different story, 5.28 ERA, 1.5 whip. Just not getting it done. He's already walked 22. He walked 23 the entire first half.
But I'm not going to get too mad at him for running out of gas.
No. And if you look at it by month, in September, he's been good. But it was really just August. August, he was terrible, and it dragged him down.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, Easton Sweet. Easton Sweet's been pretty cool.
Easton Sweet.
You know?
Devin Sweet.
Easton Lucas.
Yeah, we don't have much data to go off here either. But with Oakland, you know, 3 innings, 2 outings so far. And hasn't given up anything, really. Just given up a couple strikeouts and a walk.
Got his first win. One hit.
Against two good opponents in Texas and Houston.
And then, man, Mason Miller. Mason Miller is... I feel like we talked about this a little bit last week, but he's like the most exciting arm we've had.
Ever.
Maybe ever.
Like, yeah, he makes us think of Rich Harden. Pretty exciting, but he didn't throw 102.
No. With, you know,
like, with some cut.
Yes. And I'm glad. I want to see him, you know, like I want to see him pitch as much as possible, but I'm kind of a pretty big fan of how they're like handling him right now. You know, like he's not, they're giving him seemingly like 50 pitches ish,
mm-hmm.
little under 50 pitches. You know, if he finishes an inning at 45, he's not going back out there, but they may let him go to 55, which like I think he's probably going to train in the offseason as a starter.
I would hope so.
You know, and I wouldn't even be mad if they transitioned into a competing like era, still kind of piggybacking these dudes a little bit. You know, like if you want to throw Danny Jimenez out there for 2 innings before you bring in Mason Miller or Ken Walichuk, that's fine. I'm not mad at that. You know, it seems to be kind of working a little bit, not every single time, but it's working way more than what we were doing in May, you know? So, I think they seem to have a kind of a plan with the young arms, and I'm happy about it.
Dude, we haven't looked at this guy's stats enough. They are weird, man. He only pitched 16 games in the minor leagues.
Mason Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 games in the minor leagues, and they weren't, I mean, they were fine, I guess, but they weren't amazing. He had a couple rough patches. Overall, though, 2.52 ERA in the minors. Struck out 69 in 40 innings. Oh, my goodness. Only walked 11. Holy cow. Why did I think they were bad? A couple of bad ERAs and very small sample sizes scattered throughout. That's what made me
think. It seems like K per nine rates will get you moved up.
And guess what it was?
You know, like, I think that, oh, his K per nine?
Yeah.
Well, shit, so, 414?
No. Overall, minors, 15.8.
Oh, my gosh.
Double A with the A's, 19.6. Triple A with the
19.6? Yeah. What? How many strikeouts and how many innings?
It's just 8 and 3.2.
Okay.
But still, he struck out 8 and 3.2, man.
I mean, who? But the man, yeah. I mean, he is.
It's just interesting. You don't see guys with such little experience playing in the bigs.
But he's got the stuff.
He does have 240 innings.
How many did he pitch in college? Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Pitch what, 4+ years in college?
He pitched 4 years in college. 4+. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe an injury. Injury year in there.
And they weren't even that amazing, which is kind of interesting. He was definitely striking people out, but he's walking a lot of people, and he was giving up a lot of runs.
But, I mean, really, I wonder if it's one of those things where if he, you know, the upside is high enough, and if you feel like it's just, like, one or two things that you have to, like, work on with him, then, like, let's get him. He already, like you said, he already throws 102 with a little bit of movement.
Yeah.
Let's figure out, let's see if we can, like, work on all the, and, it's, and he looks fine. You know?
I wonder if we were to dig into it, if maybe he started pitching late in life too.
I mean, could be. The kid looks great. That's all I can really say. He looks great.
I love him. I would die for him. Well, we got Royce Lewis up with the bases juiced. This is a big moment for me fantasy wise.
It is. Corey's amidst a championship matchup right now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's not going so great.
You're winning.
I did have a good day from Kodai Senga today. Compared to last week where I dominated Dan. It's not going as well as that.
And also his week isn't going as poorly as, you know, your opponent is also just having a normal week.
Yeah, he's having a fine week.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sidetracked.
Building on some of these young dudes that we have that we're excited about, all the pitchers that we just talked about, Ryan Noda, Zach Geloff, Brent Rooker still on the young side, Sean Newcomb, blah, blah, blah.
There are building blocks here. What can we add?
Let's just take a look at, like, a quick little run through of the upcoming free agents and see if, like, any of these dudes make sense. I'll read them off. And this isn't everyone, but this is from an MLB.com article. So this is, like, it really is, like, most of the guys that we would be talking about anyway. Let's see, catchers. Travis d'Arnaud has a club option. They're probably going to pick that up, right?
Yeah, they seem to have some weird bond with him, even though he's just mid these days.
Mitch Garver, Yan Gomes, Yasmani Grandal, Omar Narvaez, Mike Zunino. The only one that even kind of stands out to me is Mitch Garver, and I don't even know if we would be able to get him. We just don't need
catching.
I mean, he may be able to DH, but yeah, we don't really need catching.
We don't need catching.
So first base, Joey Votto, no.
He's going to retire.
Reese Hoskins, Max Muncy, Josh Bell, Brandon Belt, CJ Crone, Eric Hosmer.
I mean, Max Muncy, he's an A. He's an Oakland A, man.
I mean, they're not going to do it, but I would like Reese Hoskins. That'd be cool. He's from Sacramento, right?
Give us the discount. He's all injured.
So maybe Reese Hoskins. I don't think he's coming to Oakland, though. Probably not. But anyway, second base, Whit Merrifield, Jorge Polanco, Adam Fraser, John Birdie, Colton Wong, Jonathan Scope. None of that's really standing out to me very much. I mean, maybe like Jorge Polanco, but I don't think the Cubs are letting him, I don't think the Twins are letting him go, you know?
Yeah.
Third base, Matty Chapman.
Come on down.
Justin Turner, Josh Donaldson, Eduardo Escobar, Evan Longoria, Brian Anderson, Gio Urshela, Joey Wendell. I don't think we're getting Matt Chapman back. But obviously, if Matt Chapman wants to come back, he should for sure come back.
I mean, that's the most, that's the best, that's like the dream answer, Matt Chapman comes back.
But I'm not mad at Brian Anderson or Gio Urshela either. Specifically Brian Anderson.
I guess. Joey Wendell also sounds Joey on Wendell. The same level of those guys to me.
Yeah. Nothing,
none of them are very exciting. Honestly, nothing super exciting. I'd rather roll out our young dudes than virtually every name you've read off so far.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, maybe a year of Brian Anderson, but
yeah, in like almost a utility role.
But even so, yeah, you know, like maybe play third, maybe fill play in left
for Tony Kemp,
whatever. Yeah, but yeah, mostly not interested in any of that. Shortstop: Tim Anderson has a club option. Javier Baez, Elvis Andrews, Brandon Crawford, Ahmed Rosario, Paul DeJong, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and Edilberto Mondesi.
Well.
Honestly. Maybe Mondesi.
Wouldn't hurt taking a flyer on Mondesi.
Mondesi.
I could see the A's doing some Ahmed Rosario stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of move that they've done when they're like weirdly starting to rev the engine up a little bit.
We're going to give this guy a contract.
Yeah. We're going to pay Ahmed or
let Miss Diaz deal.
You know? Yeah. Or even like, you know, like the maybe we'll give him 3 years and like, a little bit more than I don't know. Probably not though. I would say almost absolutely not.
This doesn't sound like a good idea. Idea as we talk it out.
No,
I don't want to give Ahmed Rosario $36 million.
No. So nothing really from shortstop, outfield. Bellinger, Teoscar Hernandez, Michael Conforto, Joey Gallo, Kevin Kiermaier, Jock Peterson, Soler, Harrison Bader, Andrew McCutchen, Charlie Blackmon, Michael Brantley, Tommy Pham, Mark Canna, Adam Duvall, Randall Grichuk, David Peralta, AJ Pollock, Jerickson Profar, Hunter Renfro, Robbie Grossman, Max Kepler, Will Myers, Victor Robles, Eddie Rosario, Michael Taylor, and Jesse Winker.
Wow, that's a lot of cool names.
Yeah. Mark Canna
sounds awesome.
There are a couple, depending on... You know, like price, obviously, and like willingness to come to Oakland.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking in my head, like, I'm thinking about lower end options.
Yeah, like maybe Jerickson Profar would be interested in coming back.
Maybe, but that's not going to move our needle.
But he's not forever, you know, but like a 2 year, maybe team option on the second year.
I'm just trying to think, like, who would I want over Cody Thomas or something in the outfield? And I might rather have Cody Thomas than Profar. Well, I don't know. It's pretty even.
David Peralta is kind of an interesting one.
It
would be interesting if he'd be willing. I just assume that once we, like, trade dudes away, they don't want to come back.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But if he did, then obviously, like, 100%. Like, you know, I love Mark Canna. But I just feel like he probably, especially if after going, like the Mets seem like they're trying like really hard to like be good. Maybe. So that's probably crazy.
I mean, he's a Brewer now.
That's true. You're right.
Joey Gallo, for sure, would be fine.
Hunter Renfro, if that Hunter Renfro is doable. Good.
Jesse Winkler. Jesse Winker?
Winkler. Winker. Jesse Tinkler.
I don't know why Winkler is hilarious to me.
But yeah, I think some of those are interesting names, and I wouldn't be surprised if one, at least one of those guys does sign with the A's.
Like Jesse Winker's going to be cheap. He had a terrible season.
He's had a terrible string of seasons, to be honest. Should
theoretically still be great, but he's not. Yeah. That's the type of player we can afford.
Yep, totally. DH, Otani, JD Martinez, Trey Mancini, Matt Carpenter, Nelson Cruz, Jesus Aguilar.
Nah.
Passingly interested in Trey Mancini, like a little bit.
Sure.
But not really, honestly.
No, not that interested.
No.
I'd rather give Josh Donaldson a try before the rest of those names.
And I'm not
interested. I'm not interested in that at all.
Starting pitcher. Otani, Kershaw, Aaron Nola, Blake Snell, Julio Urias, who is not going to be signing with anyone. Not going to be signing with anyone. Eduardo Rodriguez, Giolito, Sonny Gray, Marcus Stroman, Jordan Montgomery, Jack Flaherty, Lance Lynn, Kenta Maeda, Charlie Morton, Alex Cobb, Kyle Hendricks, Seth Lugo, Rich Hill, Corey Kluber, Hyunjin Ryu, Luis Severino, Zach Greinke, Johnny Cueto, Carlos Carrasco, Mike Clevenger, Herman Marquez, Wade Miley, Noah Syndergaard, Michael Wacha, Andrew Heaney, Tyler Mahle, Sean Manaea, Frankie Montas, Jake Odorizzi, Ross Stripling, and Alex Wood.
Okay, I'm going to go real quick before I forget all the names you just said. Sean Manaea, come on back. You're not that. You haven't gone that far away. Just come on back. Clayton Kershaw, yes, please. who else stuck out there? Oh, Noah Syndergaard, would love to give him a shot.
I agree.
Lucas Giolito, he's already been shunned by every other team in the AL. He's got to be willing to come to Oakland.
Yep.
Andrew Heaney, Jordan Montgomery. There's a lot of kind of intriguing options to fill out a five-man rotation.
Yeah.
Kenta Maeda. I mean, in my head, all these guys should be pitching for less than 20 mil a year.
Yeah.
I guess we're probably going to be more in the less than 10 mil a year territory. But like Noah Syndergaard has certainly played himself into that landscape. Like,
yeah. And he seems like the kind of guy that could probably learn to benefit from the amount of foul territory we have.
Yeah.
You know, there are for sure some names sticking out to me, especially in that area you were talking about where they're probably a little
less expensive. I'm looking for a nice $3.5 million a year.
Yeah. Kind of. Giolito for sure stands out to me.
Mm-hmm. Giolito and Syndergaard.
Kyle Hendricks.
He is still doing it.
Kyle Hendricks seems like the kind of guy who could maybe have a couple good years in Oakland.
He could maybe pitch like Jamie Moyer for the next 5 to 10 years of his career.
But and maybe not even good, but like good enough. You know, like, 4 ERA. Like solid.
4.2 ERA.
Yeah, or like maybe like 3.7. We started Jesse Chavez for a couple of years and he was like pretty good.
We started all sorts of terrible.
You know, Jesse Chavez
was great.
But I think Kyle Hendricks could kind of be in that mold where it's like the stuff is not great, but you figure out how to pitch in Oakland and all of a sudden your ERA is like 3.7 for like a pretty good team, you know?
This is a low blow, but you know who came to mind when I was thinking of not great? It was Dana Evelyn.
He was not good. He was not good. He's stunk.
Sorry, Dana.
He's stunk. Let me see here. Carlos Carrasco. I feel like could be probably gotten for not super expensive.
Sure, I agree.
Noah Syndergaard for sure. I agree with that one. And Jake Odorizzi also. Jake Odorizzi is a name that I'm kind of like, we could probably get him down to Oakland.
He was once very intriguing. Alex Cobb, did you mention him?
Yeah, but I think also, like, these dudes I think have been too good.
The Giants are going to pay him.
And, like, you know, like, Wade Miley, I would love in Oakland, but I think he's also been, like, overall probably too good.
I've got an interesting update. Sean Newcomb, arbitration eligible, baby.
Interesting. That was a fantastic transaction by us then.
Let's do it.
And finally, we have relief pitchers. Which is always kind of a crapshoot, you know. But anyway, Josh Hader, our old friend Liam Hendricks, Aroldis Chapman, boo, Craig Kimbrell, David Robertson, Jordan Hicks, Jose Alvarado, Adam Ottavino, Blake Treinen, Andrew Chafin, Mark Melanson, Matt Moore, Michael Fulmer, Luis Garcia, Yimi Garcia, Chad Green, Hector Neris, Matt Barnes, Anthony Bass, Dylan Floro, Daniel Hudson, Jose Leclerc, Alex Reyes, Ryan Stanek, Hunter Strickland, and Kirby Yates.
Ryan Stanek is good.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one.
I wouldn't mind if Craig Kimbrell wanted to bring his services to town.
I agree with that.
I didn't really hear a lot of names I loved.
No, there are some. I agree with Ryan Stanek. I think Alex Reyes, but I think he's probably been too good. I don't think
we're going to be able to get him. Did you say Jordan Hicks?
Maybe.
Someone Hicks?
Jordan Hicks, yes.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of these guys, it would just depend on whether they would come or not. You know, like Matt Barnes. I think Matt Barnes is probably, I think Matt Barnes has maybe not been good. I don't know. Relief pitchers is tough. And also, I'm not really mad at the bullpen that's kind of coming together a little bit. Like, I hope we bring back Trevor May. I hope he's down to play
in Oakland again. I would like to bring back Trevor May. Maybe he's like an eighth inning guy, but hey, for now he's the closer.
But those are the upcoming free agents. So I think there are some moves to be made if we're interested in making moves.
There are kind of a surprisingly low grade class.
Nothing. Well, I mean Ohtani, but I mean it drops off quick.
Yeah, no disrespect, but more people that sound affordable to the A's than I was expecting to hear.
Yeah, well, and I mean like top flight guys. Like, obviously, Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, but Kershaw's not going anywhere. I mean,
quickly goes down to like Bellinger.
Josh Hader, Bellinger.
Bellinger's had a great year. But
and then, yeah, that's kind of.
For that to be like top five.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money, I think, Chapman's probably. Up there. But anyway, that's the free agents and everything.
Fun exercise.
It is look back time. And I believe it is your turn to ask me.
Come on. Okay, here we go. We're going old school. We're going back to 1908. At age 22, he made his debut for the Philadelphia Athletics, where he began his career terrorizing the league at the dish. He hit 96 career home runs. He had 103 career triples. Things were different back then. They didn't have fences and stuff. Or they had weird dimensions. He led the league with 19 triples in 1909. He led the league with 11 home runs in 1911. 10 home runs in 1912. 12 home runs in 1913. And 9 home runs in 1914. It is crazy that led the league. All the while putting up monster RBI numbers. 130 in 1912 led the league. 117 in 13 led the league. Top 5 MVP finisher twice, top 15 four times. He went on to play for the Yankees starting in 1916, had a couple weird breaks in his career, maybe war related, I don't know. Career on base of 363, OPS plus of 135. He has a nickname.
Okay.
With home run in the name. They called him Home Run Baker.
I have no idea.
You're not familiar with Frank Baker?
No, not really.
This is Frank Home Run Baker.
Well, you got me good on that one.
Monster power hitter of the world champion A's of old.
I mean, you know, those are some solid offensive seasons, especially in context, you know?
Yeah.
Like 1912, that's a solid year. 174 OPS plus. Base,
man.
Knocking in 130 runs. Dude, he had 21 triples. You didn't need to hit a home run. You're still clearing the bases, basically.
Still
had
more home runs than anybody else.
Oh, yeah, leading the league with 10. Anyway, home run Baker, huh?
Yeah.
Well, man, this is why Babe Ruth was a total revelation then, right?
That's right.
Anyway, coolest thing we saw in baseball. It seems like we're going with the Braves theme a little bit.
There he is.
Wow, he looks exactly like I thought he would.
62.8 career WAR.
Good for him.
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Interesting. Mine was the Braves. Clinched their 6th division title in a row. They are definitely the best team in baseball right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, mine was also the Braves. It was Matt Olson breaking the Braves' single-season home run record.
And he's got 51 and counting,
50, right? Or he tied it? I don't know, but he did it.
He's 51. Gonna, he's got 51.
He hit 51. And he's going to hit more. He's going to keep hitting more.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And it is very sad, but also like, hey, at least we had him and we got to enjoy him.
And it's his home. He's where he's from.
He's like, having a great time. His life couldn't be any better.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah. And I don't, and he's not, I don't think he's mad at us, the A's fans.
No.
And we're not mad at him, you know? No. So, you know, like, I think it's just, it's like a, you know, it's like a friend that moved away to go to college. You know, yeah. Like, I'm happy for him. He's doing great. He's doing great things.
Maybe we'll visit.
Yeah.
I would like to.
It would be really cool to see Matt Olson in Atlanta and be hey, dude, how's it going?
I will cherish my autographed Matt Olson ball regardless.
Yes. So, yeah, go Braves, honestly. It's pretty easy to root for the Braves. They got Sean Murphy. They got Matt Olson. Yeah. They got a bunch of other dudes that I like.
Honestly, if they just didn't have Marcell Ozuna, it'd be a no-brainer. Yeah, but they totally do. So I'm probably pulling for the O's when it's all said.
Yeah, I do really like the Orioles. That's fair. That's a good call. In our fantasy face off here, Corey Skunk can be pretty good. Corey picked Brandon Woodruff, who had himself a week.
Wow. I did, yes. 51.9 from Woodruff, 44.9 from Jason Dominguez, all while getting injured, like, three games into the week.
Yeah, he like,
it was... I think he did that on 2 to 3 games.
Yes, which is incredible.
He's good.
He is very, very good.
Dan got 70.3 from Glaber, which you think would have gotten it done, but he only got 10.4 from Assad, and I feel your pain because I streamed him, and it wasn't a good start. Wasn't what I was anticipating. Okay, so I win. Brings us to 3-3,
which is not bad, honestly. This, you know, like, that's kind of, I didn't necessarily expect us to be tied at the end of this. You know, that's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
Let's see here. So I'm going to go with Geloff. And Brian Bello.
Nice. And I will do Gunnar Henderson and Cole Reagans. Is it Cole Reagans? Connor Reagans? I actually don't know. I haven't watched this guy pitch, but he's great.
I believe it's Cole.
So I'm going with Reagans. And this probably will run us through the end of the season. I am going on vacation. I'm going to Europe for my first time ever. I'll be leaving next week. And we're hoping to do an episode before then that we'll put out while I'm gone, but I don't think we'll be picking new fantasy players. So this will probably run us through the end of the season.
Yeah, so this is basically the championship.
This is the championship. So fly swift, my sweet angels.
Yeah, Zach Geloff, keep doing what you've been doing, buddy. And I know Bello's been like one of the nice surprises for the Red Sox on the year. So just keep doing that too. And in the meantime, honestly, like, for what started out as a terrible year, this has been fine.
It's been another season of baseball. There's highs and there's lows, and sometimes the lows are real low.
Yeah, and we've gotten to watch a lot of Zach Geloff, which is always very exciting.
Yeah, thank God they called him up.
So, yeah, I think you'll be hearing from us one more time, and then that'll be it until you hear from us next year.
Well, I don't think we're going to go dead radio silent the entire off season.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. You'll probably hear from us in the meantime. But in terms of mostly hearing from us weekly.
In terms of regular
this week and next week.
Season coverage.
So yeah, this it's been a very fun year. And we'll be more retrospective next time because it'll actually be the last one.
It'll be a wrap up.
But yeah, pretty good week. Let's do another 500 or better week. Man, and then we can end on maybe 3 in a row. Man, that'd be sick.
What if we went 500 or better in September?
We're trying to.
Remember when we used to be like that every month?
Yes, I do. It was incredible. But alrighty. In the meantime, go A's. Sell the team.
Go A's.
Bye-bye.
Bye.